You're listening to podcast number 3 on No More Lethal Weight, 10 Steps to Transform Canada's Emergency Departments, Redefine Nurse-to-Patient Ratios. So in this podcast, we tackle one of the most difficult steps in transforming your emergency department, tackling nurse-to-patient ratios. You know, nursing workload revolves around these ratios. We make each nurse responsible for his or her own patients, and managers who ignore ratios do so at their own peril. Ratios drive union grievances if managers ignore them. A great ratio can make a really tough nursing assignment manageable. An award with terrible ratios will just drive nurses away. They'll transfer to somewhere else. So nurse-to-patient ratios are sacrosanct to many. You could even call them one of the sacred cows of emergency medicine, or nursing in general, for sure. But the trouble with rigid ratios is that they create gigantic problems if a clinical area has to see unscheduled visits. So my question for you is, how can you schedule a rigid or fixed ratio of patients for every single nurse in your department if your department must see every single person that shows up to the door? And of course, the answer is the only way you can have a rigid set of ratios for your nurses, whether it's 4-to-1 or 6-to-1, is by making everyone else wait in the waiting room to protect those artificial rigid ratios inside your department. This makes sense on an inpatient ward where you can control the number of patients coming in. It also makes sense for, you know, if you have a hardworking nurse or another nurse that doesn't work quite as hard or work quite as quickly, we don't want to burn out the hard workers by making them do more work to make up for the slower people on the team. But in the emergency department, things are a bit different. If 120 people have registered, and you have 12 nurses working, and let's pretend that 60 of those patients are in your waiting room. So your 12 nurses to 60 patients inside the department creates a really nice 5-to-1 ratio. But all the patients in your department are your patients. You will get sued if something bad happens to them. And lawsuits aside, I mean, we went into medicine to make sure bad things don't happen to patients. And all the literature shows that bad things happen if people are left to wait in the waiting room. So your nurse-patient ratio is actually 10-to-1 if you have 120 patients in your department and 12 nurses working. So we have to start thinking of our ratios in terms of all the people that are waiting outside in the waiting room for care as well. I mentioned elsewhere that if we're going to, you know, in the last couple podcasts, if we're going to bring in all of these patients straight into the department, if all of the patients that show up to the emerge are eventually our patients, emergency departments have to function on the assumption that they have unlimited capacity. We have to see everyone. We can't turn anyone away. So rigid nurse to patient ratios work on inpatient wards, but they do not work in the emergency department. If you close your waiting room and bring everyone inside, you're going to have to take a different perspective when it comes to these ratios. The only way that ratios improve is when doctors see and discharge patients. Doctors need to get to patients, treat them, and send them home to drop that terrible ratio if you have a 10-to-1 ratio or whatever it is that includes all of the patients in your whole department. So emergency departments need to see patients, treat them, and send them home or admit them as efficiently as possible. And pretending that these patients don't exist just because they're out in the waiting room puts patients at risk. Now, nurses work very hard caring for patients, and many, many nurses, I've worked with many nurses like this, will go far beyond their duty or their mandate to help out patients. But nurses also stay alert for managers that might take or who might take advantage of them, because this has happened in the past. Managers are under pressure. to with swollen budget, you know, budgets, needs that are growing and budgets that aren't keeping up with the needs. And so they're under pressure to get as much efficiency out of their workers. So if they have a bunch of really hard workers that say yes to doing more and more and more, managers will push them as far as they can get away with. Not all managers, I'm just saying that's the reality of a system that doesn't have enough money to hire as many nurses as we often can. So understandably, nurses are very, very sensitive to possible abuse from management that wants to just bend the rules and get rid of ratios. But if we have unlimited capacity and we have to see everybody that shows up, we need to get around these rigid ratios. So how can we get nurses to buy in to consider bending these ratios, which again, as I said in the beginning, are sacrosanct to many people? And the way we tackled this in our department was to start by speaking to nurses' core motivation for caring. Nurses go into nursing to care for patients. They feel sick when patients wait 8 hours or little kids waiting, you know, hours and hours in the waiting room, maybe 6-8 hours with a broken arm, you know, a displaced broken arm. And they're just sitting there, they're scared, they're not crying out in pain, but we know they're in pain. I mean, that breaks anyone's heart, but it really breaks nurses' hearts. So speak to their core motivation for caring, and nurses will admit it's not right that we have patients waiting so long. And so nurses will be willing to try something new with getting all these patients inside, even if it does disrupt the ratios for a short time. If nurses allow you to try this in your department, they quickly see that hard work now makes life much easier later. If you get the patient seen, treated, and discharged, it decreases their patient's length of stay and reduces the total amount of work that the team has to do. It improves patient satisfaction, it improves job satisfaction, and everyone ends up they enjoy the situation much better than the opposite of letting people wait and wait in the waiting room. So to do this, teams have to pull together. They have to get together, help each other out. If a particular area of the department isn't too busy, then those nurses need to go and help out in another area. Now, that's not to say it's just completely a free-for-all and there's no sense of any ratios anywhere. Nurses still like primary care nursing, but the management needs to build a culture of helping out and getting patients home as quickly as possible by working together. And ultimately, that's exactly what patients came to the department for, a diagnosis and treatment as quickly as possible. Now, one of the risks is that as money runs out, emergency departments tend to do as little as possible for everyone to spread money as far as possible. It's what I call in the book a poverty mentality. And a poverty mentality removes any resilience in your system. But if you're stretching yourself as far as possible and always only doing as little as possible for as many people as possible, when a surge actually hits, you have no way to deal with it. So emergency departments need to flip that thinking 180 degrees and think in an abundance mentality. What more can I do for the patient in front of me? And that also requires an all hands on deck, everybody working together to try to go above and beyond for every single patient so that when a surge hits or when a catastrophe happens, you know, a school bus tips over and 20 kids show up in your department all at once, you have some resilience there to be able to ramp up your care. And we talk about this in more detail in the book. Now, understandably, this approach of redefining nurse-to-patient ratios and, you know, all hands on deck, everybody help out as soon as a surge hits, raises a number of nursing concerns. And so I spoke with two nurse managers, two nurse coordinators and a nurse educator at two different hospitals to get their sense of, you know, what do nurses think about this? You know, we've had hurdles, there are challenges to get to, but from nurses and from nurses who've worked in the system and then ended up being in leadership in the system, what are some of the comments that nurses make? So there's a whole, you know, many, many pages in the book on this, but just to give you a sense of some of the things that they said, These nurse leaders said that after a few months, nurses, the team comes around and supports the new approach. They realize that it's much safer than letting patients wait for hours, but it does take time to get used to. They also said that nurses often talk about guidelines and their license, and we can't be bending these ratios or anything else. But often when you dig right into it, and this is the nurse leader's own words, they said, we're often just covering our butt. And it's the same for physicians and clerks and everybody else in the department too. We often come up with excuses for not wanting to try a new approach, and really we're just covering our butt and trying to play it ultra safe while patients come to harm. Another thing that they mentioned is that nurses worry about trimming down triage. So in an earlier podcast, we talked about revamping triage. And if we trim down triage to just chief complaint, CTAS score, and location, then we don't need as many nurses at the front. And some nurses interpret that as, oh, you're going to cut jobs. That is not true. We are not cutting jobs. We're moving those nurses, those highly skilled nurses, inside the department to provide care. So nurses need reassurance that triage is not getting cut, but redeployed into the inside of the department. Triage is not safer, and that needs to be drummed in and repeated over and over and over. Patients need they need diagnosis and treatment, not triage. Triage doesn't improve safety. Another thing they mentioned is that nurses have a very rule-based culture. Change and innovation are hard. They're not impossible, but they are hard. So it takes a little bit of extra effort for sure. They said that nurses will often do clerical work, like charting really, really well, because it's easier. It's actually hard to see another patient and do another assessment and worry about missing something. But clerical work is often easier than the actual, frontline nursing work that needs to be done. They mentioned that new grads will take a year to train now and orient into the emergency department. In the old days of hospital nurse training programs, graduates of that approach were ready to go from day one. They said to be sure to partner with your unions. If you do not, you will have a life of misery. So partner with your unions, keep them close, keep them on side with every change that you propose. They suggested to hire well and to fire promptly. You need to deal with insubordination or low performance. But ultimately, if you build a great team from the start, you'll have a much greater chance of success. They mentioned that for some nurses, especially those with extra training in triage or who are educators in triage, they will worry that a decreasing role for triage in the emerge could potentially decrease the influence of nurses on emergency care. Although I can understand that perspective, I mean, it couldn't be farther from the truth. Emergency departments cannot run without nurses, and great nurses. Everybody knows that our nurses need to be as efficient as possible, doing only nursing work, not work that can be done by someone else or clerk or a porter or whatever. So nurses have a key role, and I think that's just a red herring to say that this is a way to undermine nurses' role. We need nurses even more in this approach. They mentioned a bunch of sacred cows for emergency medicine, and they mentioned triage, nurse-to-patient ratios, culture, and history. And another comment that stood out for me is they said people think they want change, but then they get all worked up over how it used to be as soon as you do the change, and that's something that you're going to have to manage through. So these are just a few of the comments that these nurse leaders shared with me, and I say many, many more of them in the book. But nurses are a kingpin. They're a cornerstone to emergency care, and so leaders need to spend a ton of time making sure that the nurses understand what's happening and what's going to happen. And even if you do your best job at trying to explain or trying to encourage and support, you're going to make mistakes. Certainly we made mistakes and went too far too fast or didn't communicate enough or didn't support the right people. But just persist. You have the high ground. You're doing what's right for patients. And ultimately, your work and effort to transform your department will pay off, and the nurses will thank you for it. They do not want to go back to the old days of 6 and 8 hour waits in the department and having just infuriated patients coming in, or stories, even if patients aren't really, really angry, you know, having to care for someone, and it just breaks your heart to see, gosh, this kid was waiting for 8 hours with a displaced radius and ulna fracture in the department. You know, it makes you want to cry. So that doesn't happen anymore in this new approach. And so for that and many other reasons, nurses do end up buying in and really, really appreciating this approach. So there's a ton more about this in the book. I just wanted to give you a sense of it here. And this podcast is a little bit shorter than the last ones, but I think it's a good place to end. Thanks so much for listening. The next step is called Use Chairs and Exam Tables, Not Stretchers. See you next time.